Chad and Julia Veach's world was turned upside down when their four-month-old daughter was diagnosed with a rare brain malformation known as smooth brain.
Because the doctor said, you know, she'll never walk, she'll never talk, she'll never crawl, she'll never roll over. He told us she'll never live to this many years and she'll never develop to this many months.
Learning to trust that God can use the joy and the pain in all of life circumstances. Next on Life Today.
Thanks for joining us today. Obviously, as you can tell, I'm neither James nor Betty. My name is Christine Kane from the Land Down Under, and it's my honour and privilege to be your host today. I'm just part of the Life Today extended family. I'm so much a part of the Life Outreach missions and just love James and Betty and honour them so much. And I know you're going to love today. I've got two of my great friends, Chad and Julia Veach, joining us. So why don't we just welcome them? We love you guys so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you so much for
all the way from sunny LA.
From Los Angeles, California.
Come on, is that the promised land?
It is the promised land. God lives there. I have been looking for where he has landed. He has landed in LA. He lives there. Jesus lives there.
Jesus lives in LA. I love that. Well, you guys have got just a fantastic story, and I really, really would love it if you would just share some of your journey with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, part of our story is that we're in Los Angeles. But what God's done through our life and what God's been doing as far as giving us an ability to communicate hope and life that's in Jesus is really through our daughter. And our daughter's almost 3 years old. Her name's Georgia Estelle, but we call her Gigi.
Gigi.
She's got a little nickname. And when she was 4 months old, we received a diagnosis that her brain did not develop when Julia was pregnant with her. And, you know, all the emotions. It's your firstborn.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know anything was wrong. There was no hint of anything being wrong. And so, you know, a few months into her coming home with us, we started noticing that her eyes were crossing and something wasn't right. And so we took her in for some tests and we thought, you know, maybe either could put a corrective lens on her or a patch. We never thought what we would, you know, receive as far as its diagnosis. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. It changed us.
Yeah.
It did. Tell me what happened, how the doctor told you, like what?
April 10th,
yeah.
2012.
Yeah.
And I was just telling him this today. I remember the day before was Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And I had gotten, you know, my firstborn daughter all dressed up and we were on staff at a church in Washington at the time, and I had stood in the back that service, and Chad was in the front row, and just feeling so overwhelmed in worship, just knowing God's peace, that whatever the outcome was tomorrow with the doctor, that we were going to trust in God. And, you know, as a mother, you start to prepare, you know, for things and what could be. And I remember praying faith and speaking life over my daughter, but going through different scenarios. And that day that we sat in the doctor's office, we had no idea the severity that it was, you know, a lot of times sickness, disease, we can contend for healing, but there's also a lot of treatments and specialists and medical attention. But for the doctor to say there is no cure.
Right.
And there is no solution. There's no surgery. This is not a disease. This is a disorder.
Yeah.
For us to feel, you know, just so struck with that shocking news, you know, is an unforgettable day.
It's amazing when doctors, you know, you just came out of this yourself. And so, you know, this journey, when doctors use the word never, it stirs something in me.
Yeah.
Because the doctor said, you know, she'll never walk. She'll never talk. She'll never crawl. She'll never roll over. He told us she'll never live to this many years and she'll never develop to this many months.
Wow.
And I'm just glad that doctors don't have the last say. I just believe that Jesus, his word has the last say. And so we're you know, we learned through this that we can't let our circumstance determine our faith.
Yeah.
We're going to let our faith determine our circumstance.
Yeah.
And so right away, you know, we drove home from the hospital and there were tears, but I'll never forget.
We had worship music on.
Yeah, I'll never forget just faith filling our home. Yeah. And you start to contend and say, well, if I'm going to fight, I'm not going to fight alone. Mm-hmm. So you start, you know, ringing people and getting the church to pray. And I tell you, you know, for us, and this has been a couple year journey, we've never seen Jesus more clearly.
Yeah.
We've never had more hope, more faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never, you know, I understand what Paul said. Paul said, God comforts us so we can comfort others.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've been able to, you know, rally alongside people and fill them with faith and hope. And mm-hmm. I've watched what the enemy intended for harm. Yeah. God has turned around for the good.
Yeah.
I think that's so powerful what you said, and particularly you said this has been a couple of year journey mm-hmm. thus far, and which is powerful because a lot of times we want to be delivered, you know, from something immediately.
Yeah.
We want an instantaneous healing. And I love that right in this room there's just such a spirit of faith knowing that we're still fighting.
Yeah.
Fighting the good fight of faith and that, you know, you've had to journey through. Tell me, for 2 years, it can't be easy, you know, going through this with your daughter. Like, what are perhaps some of the challenges that you've had to endure during this time and still have a spirit of faith while you're doing that?
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, seizure management is a big part of our daily life, to be honest, and aspiration, feeding issues, severe developmental delays, low muscle tone. But with that, you know, comes a day-by-day mentality, and we have hope for her healing and faith for the future. But we really do enjoy the today, and we make her life the most comfortable we can. And we love people, and we love God, and we love his church, but we love life too.
Yeah.
And we are passionate about the abundant life that God's spoken over us. I remember having an argument with a doctor about, you know, her life and, you know, what the enemy intended for harm. I just really believe that God's plan was for her to have an abundant life, and I spoke that over her. And, you know, we've just done our best and with what we can to give her the best life possible.
Absolutely. I love what you're saying. You know, the fact is a lot of people miss the life they have wishing they had another life.
Yeah.
So because you're not missing any moment because you're in this moment. And at the end of the day, I love what you said, we have today. We all only have today.
Yeah.
Life is but a vapor.
Yeah.
And James says, you know, none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're not wishing your life away. In fact, you're about to undertake possibly one of the greatest adventures of your life, mm-hmm. or your married life thus far.
Yeah.
You've left the stability of family support
and
growing up in Washington State to move to California to plant a church.
Yeah.
In the midst of all of this, you know, where perhaps logic would say, you know, stay where all your support is, you know, take it easy, pull back in the midst of... While you're in the midst of a battle, while you're fighting with one hand, the fight of faith over here, you're about to launch a church to help other people. Tell us a bit about how that's all come about.
Yeah, well, I think it's so much... life is an attitude.
Yeah.
The premise that you're living life from, the perspective that you have. And we just, from this very day that we got the diagnosis, we said, we're not going to stop serving God.
Yeah.
We're not going to stop building the church. We're not going to stop preaching. People look at me and say, I don't know how you preach, and I don't know how you smile. And I thought, we got Jesus.
Yeah.
We got joy. We got, I'll tell you exactly why I'm preaching. Exactly. We go verse by verse, line by line. And so I think God is able to use you when you just, no matter what your situation is, you just offer it before him. Say, God, you can use my weakness. You can use my testimony. You can use my pain. And I've learned that God will actually give you a even a larger reach. You know, I saw a tweet the other day. It said, people will admire your gifting, but they can relate with your pain.
Yes.
And we've seen just doors open with people that are not saved, that don't go to church. We've watched, it was amazing when Julia was pregnant. I used to lay hands on her stomach and pray that God would use our firstborn daughter around the world. Beautiful. And I kept praying that God would give her a global grace. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, 18, 19 years old, she's going to look like her mom. Hello. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And she's going to preach around the world. And I had no idea that God could use my daughter at 4 months, at 6 months, 9 months. And so I think when you step out in faith and just say, God, we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. But if I'm going to forget the past, yeah. I'm going to press on to the future. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lay hold of what you already have laid hold of for me.
Yeah.
And so God called us to L.A. to plant a church in the natural. It doesn't make sense at all. But we don't serve the God of the natural.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. He's a supernatural.
Yes, yeah. He is.
And so, you know, you have a Zoe church. We're planting Zoe LA, the abundant life that's in Christ. It's over 10 million people in the city of Los Angeles.
Wow.
And I think that's a city where we want people from every background, from every socioeconomic background to understand the life that is in Jesus. And if God's going to use us and our daughter, our struggles, our victories, to bring life to people. I mean, that's what we're there to do. So I think the enemy would love to see us retreat and play it safe. Mm. But I heard Judas say, our pastor, Judas Smith, he said, a man with a Savior is willing to take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
We're willing to risk it all so that Jesus already risked it all for us. Why wouldn't we risk it all for other people?
See, I think that's powerful, even that you're calling, you know, your church Zoe in terms of abundant life, that abundant life isn't determined on your circumstances because you'd love to have different circumstances.
Yeah.
And I think all of us in this room, everyone watching this program today, there's at least one area of our life that we wish was different. And some people are undergoing great suffering, great challenge, great trials. Yeah. And, you know, Chad, I'm going to ask you, in a moment, just to really perhaps minister to people that right now perhaps got some kind of diagnosis that they weren't expecting. You know, I always say that the children of Israel, after 430 years in slavery, 40 years in the wilderness, they finally get into the promised land, and the first thing they hit when they walk into the promised land is the walls of Jericho. Wow. So the last, sometimes when you're about to go into the promise, you're having your child, you're thinking, this is awesome. It's what I've been believing God for.
Yeah.
And then the last thing you thought you were going to see was a 30-foot thick impenetrable wall.
Right.
And it's easy to think I'm still in the wilderness, but you're actually in the promised land.
Right.
It's just that the wall of Jericho is there. Yeah. The promise is on the other side.
100%.
And so you've got to see beyond the wall to the promise. And there are people watching this right now, this program, and you know, they've either had a very negative medical diagnosis, perhaps their spouse has walked out on them, you know, perhaps their business has gone bankrupt. I mean, there's a myriad of issues. A dream has been deferred, a hope's been deferred.
Yeah.
And that's just part of life. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people, but Jesus is still our hope. So our hope in Him is not dependent on our circumstances.
Right.
He gives us a grace in the midst of that.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are modeling that more than anything. And, and that makes me so excited about the church you're going to plant. But what would you say to people that are going through that?
I think you said it. Jesus is the hope.
Yeah.
So our hope is not in even my moral standards. It's not in my ethics. It's not in my behaviors. My hope has been totally placed in a person, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think no matter what I face, I have just found Him to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
I found Him to be true. So our home, people would look at us and say, you're dealing with this, and how do you do it? And, you know, and the sympathy and the compassion is overwhelming, but we're living the abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
We got joy. I always think about Ephesians 3:20. It says, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above anything we could ask, think, or even our minds can imagine.
Yeah.
And we never dreamt life could be this good.
Wow.
We never thought of it. We never asked God for all the blessings we've received, including our daughter. So I think, again, it goes back to, you know, no matter what you're facing, I don't know your situation, but Jesus is a reality. The reality of who He is in your world, is in your situation. All you have to do, the Bible says that all those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And all you have to do, whatever you're facing, is call upon that name. I guarantee you, money back guarantee, that when you call upon that name, Jesus Himself, He will come, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, it will guard your heart, it will guard your mind.
I think that's beautiful. You know, it sort of defies logic, even your joy in the midst of, and yet the Scripture tells us it's in the midst of it. And Paul says, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I think that's what sets believers apart in times of adversity and challenge.
Yeah.
And you also have a son, Winston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 11 months old. His name means joyful stone.
Beautiful.
And he is strong and and joyful at the same time. We bring him in bed with us in the morning, and he's a violent cuddler. So I have a finger up my nose and a finger in my eyeball. Yeah. And, you know, he has truly brought such joy to our home. Yeah. And, you know, when I was pregnant with him, a lot of doctors wanted me to do some invasive testing.
Yeah.
And we just had peace, and we, you know, stood by the promise to have... you know, more children in our home is what we felt like God had spoke to us, and he's just been perfect bill of health, and you know, he loves Georgia so
beautiful.
Much. He he crawls in to see her every day and gives her an open mouth kiss, and you know, tries to attack her, but. You know,
such a picture of grace, isn't it?
Is.
Yeah,
right
it is.
There. Yeah. That's just so beautiful.
It is. He makes me think of. Grace abounds.
Beautiful.
Grace doesn't wait for us to come to it. Jesus doesn't wait for us. I love that he is patient in some regards, but really he's going to come and bless us and take care of us even before we ask for it. And so the gift that he's been healing to our home.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And so, you know, there's been, you know, I have to be honest, there's been nights, it's been tearful.
Yeah.
It's been hard. It hasn't been easy. But the moment that we got pregnant, the moment that he entered our home, I mean, he is a gift.
Yeah.
And I think that's so God.
Yes.
With God, there's always more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's always more with God. Just when you think that, oh, this is all that I get, or I don't know if it get better from here. The best is always yet to come.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I just found that with God. And he is a living example that with God, he's not done.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you think that he's done. He's not done.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
got more up his sleeve. He's got more planned. And I just think if we can get a glimpse of the heart of God for us, that God loves us so much, he gives us gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a God that's unchanging, and he gives us beautiful gifts, the gift of children. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And he obviously gives you the grace to be able to not just sustain but overcome and live victoriously in the midst mm-hmm. of anything. And that's a God. Would you believe that he's graced you both to be George's parents and to...
100%. Yeah. Yeah, the strength.
Very much, I think, in that kind of strength. In those, we'll just kind of go here because I think some people will be watching and, you know, you just mentioned some nights are so hard and tearful
mm-hmm.
and as a mother watching your daughter have seizures, I love that you said it's a daily thing so mm-hmm. that people know that we're not making up anything here. It is hard work. It's mm-hmm. every day. There is that in your home.
Mm-hmm.
In those moments and those dark moments, what do you practically do that endures, that enables you to continue to endure, to continue to have hope, and against all hope, in hope still believe?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I've tried a lot of practical things.
Yeah.
I think with every journey, there are seasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been dark seasons and seasons where we have felt adrenalized in the faith and the prayers of others and the community surrounding us.
Yeah.
And there are seasons where you feel like it's just you and Jesus.
Yeah.
And in those moments, my prayer has specifically been just like David in Psalm 23, God, restore my soul, identifying that he's the shepherd.
Yep.
And if I can be dependent on him and not
so
try to figure everything out, you know, I just think for our home and as a mother of another son, I have to maintain a healthy soul.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so identifying, not just making an attractive spirituality or, you know, contending for her healing, but really guarding the health of my soul has been a huge part of my seasons when I feel alone and, you know, on the floor, not asking why God, but definitely saying, you know, where is the strength that, you know,
that I need. That is so powerful.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a story. What a story of hope.
Yeah,
what a story of just grace, God's amazing grace.
Yeah.
And, you know, your mother's heart certainly just kind of really softens my heart as well. And I think I love how you guys are contending for your daughter, and all of us would love to contend for for children that mm-hmm. have absolutely no hope, who have yeah. had their dreams shattered. And, yeah. you know, just like Chad and Julia have really stood in the gap for their own daughter, we at Life Outreach are so committed to helping to restore yeah. the broken dreams of young women and yeah. children that have been sold into the horrors of sex trafficking across the world. Mm. And we are serious about helping to reach, to yeah. rescue, and to restore these children, and to be able, just as you've loved your daughter, for us to be able to step in and love these children. I'm going to tell you in a moment how we together are going to be able to reach, rescue, and restore the lives yeah. of broken children sold into sex trafficking. I want you to watch this next piece with me as we see how beautiful dreams have turned into nightmares, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity how we're going to turn those nightmares back into dreams for these children.